The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So we'll have a Hall of Fame announcement today. The Texans made some announcements. Can't wait to talk about that. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click a like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Zhong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Wednesday. Whatever you do, whether you text or tweet, or fly over with an airplane with a sign, put odds on it. What are the odds somebody stole my little thing off the microphone?
Probably percent 1,000.
Can you throw me that ugly one there?
That's why I've been packing my own every day.
Well, I have. I thought I had it packed, but apparently not. I must have left it here, and now somebody snagged it.
Yeah, you messed up big time on that. Oh, I made a poor throw. Sorry about that.
Well, this one doesn't stink, so I'm keeping it.
That's good.
What's happening, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that. What's happening with you?
A lot of good stuff.
What's the good stuff? What's good?
Well, good
Tell
stuff
me something
is,
good.
Well, finally have this freaking mortgage done, so I'm going to be able to close Monday.
Congratulations.
And so I'm happy to be done with that. Now I can just get on to closing and moving. That'll be easy, right?
Yeah.
That's the easy part. And a lot of good business stuff going on in the Falcon Empire, so everything is great today. Just ready for
good
a great
news.
Show. And I hope I didn't jinx Jeff Bagwell, but I already have it written, so if he gets named, I'll have a story up during the show about the first time I ever saw Jeff Bagwell.
Okay.
It's a very, well, I think it's kind of a cool story.
Okay.
I don't know if I should save it for the website or if I should tell the people. I'll tell the people. This is, the show comes first, right?
Yeah.
Show's always the most important thing, but there'll be some more detail on it. But 1991, we're going back 26 years now. They had gotten him from the Red Sox. He was a hot prospect, but I didn't know much about him. I just knew he was a hot prospect. I was at spring training before they started playing games. And I'm sitting there talking to one of my colleagues that I worked with at the time. And I did that every year for a lot of years. I went to spring training and before they got started. And I hear this guy in the batting cage. I suddenly start to hear this whack, whack, whack. And like every ball was on the meat of the bat. I never heard anything like that.
You're talking like BP?
BP, yeah.
Okay.
And you've been around a lot of batting practices.
Yeah.
And you can tell the difference between the guys who are really good and the guys who, you know, they'll miss the ball and you'll hear that little when he just barely misses and stuff.
You know who the best batting practice hitter I've ever seen was? Adam Dunn.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, if the ball's not moving around on him, like if it's just thrown up there, I mean, he was just so big and strong. I mean, it made that noise, like the noise, like a gunshot.
Yeah, but this was every single swing.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I go over and I ask somebody, who the hell's that? And go, oh, that's Jeff Bagwell. And so I go over and I'm actually mesmerized by batting practice for
this
the first time in my life.
Before his rookie season?
Before his rookie season. And he's putting the ball everywhere. He's putting it in the gaps. He's putting it in the outfield. And he never missed a single ball. And you could hear it crack throughout the whole place. And after that, I'm like, man, this guy's going to be good. And it was just, it's something I've never forgotten because I just don't ever remember that happening before. And it'd be really cool if he got in the Hall of Fame and I can look back and say, man, I remember seeing that guy in batting practice before he won the NL Rookie of the Year and thinking, dude, he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And he's my favorite Astro of all time. And there's a lot of things that I loved about the guy. And it's kind of, I mean, no disrespect to Craig Biggio. He was never the best player on that team. It was year in, year out. Bagwell was the one who carried that team.
I've taken my share of grief for this opinion, but I stand by it. When Craig Biggio got in the Hall of Fame, I thought it was ridiculous. because, A, the fact that he got in before Jeff Bagwell is absurd.
That bothers me to this day.
Because one of those guys was one of the best players in the league for a good stretch of time. The other one was a guy who had a really nice, long career. Guys with
long
really,
enough to get 3,000 hits from the leadoff position most of his career.
Right. Guys with really nice, long careers, to me, that's not Hall of Fame. And I'm borderline on whether or not Jeff Bagwell should be in the Hall of Fame. But good Lord, if Craig Biggio's sitting in that thing, Jeff Bagwell damn sure ought to be.
Well, and I would just – the reason I would the reason to vote against Bagwell, there's only two. Postseason failures, which – and if you really go back and look at it, he and Biggio both struggled in the postseason.
Horrifically.
But – think about how many times they were facing Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz, the best pitchers of those generations.
You mean Hall of Famers?
Yes. well, a lot of guys who, frankly, I think are a lot of great players struggled against those guys in the playoffs. So, you know, that was part of it, and I could see the argument. But then there's people who accuse him of steroids, and you know how I feel about that. And if I had a vote, I think I've told you this before. I was a year away from having my baseball writer's card long enough to get a Hall of Fame vote.
Right.
And if I'd stayed at the Chronicle for one more year, I'd have one. And you know Bonds and Clemens would be on my ballot.
Of course.
Jeff Bagwell would be on my ballot. But I also think at this point I'd be abstaining because I don't cover the sport day in and day out. I'm not on top of it the way I was when I had to be.
Well, but I mean at this point you're voting in guys that you did cover day in and day out.
And that's fair. That's something to think about. But, I
think there's one other thing that is a knock on Bagwell is that he never got to that 500 home runs.
No, and that's the thing. If he could have played two more years before his body broke down, we wouldn't be having much of a conversation. And Frank Thomas and he, the one thing I always remember is their careers, they started the same time. If you looked at their career numbers almost year by year, they were identical for almost a decade. And the thing that would put him over the top for me, and this is one of those where, and I hope this doesn't sound like old guy who talks about Hall of Fame stuff.
Right.
But it's the things he did day in and day out besides being the best player on that team. He shouldered the load for everything. He was a true leader in a very quiet way. And he did things, he played defense like, you know, he did all the little extra things that make you better than everybody else. And maybe it's just because, you know, I have some really good memories of him from, and you know, I don't know Jeff Bagwell. I've interviewed him a bunch of times, played on his golf team once. I always tried to stay as distant from athletes as possible back then, which makes sense. But he was always pleasant. He took, no matter how bad things were, he took time out of his, you know, afterwards to take the blame when they failed in the playoffs. He didn't gloat. He's just one of those guys that was different from everybody else. And to me, that's kind of – and just year in, year out consistency. He drove in 82 runs his first year. That was his fewest when he was healthy till his last year. Every other year, 100 runs, 96 runs. I hope he gets in, mainly because this is a really good story and I don't want it to go to waste.
Yeah. like I said, I hope he gets in mostly because they let Biggio in. And I'm iffy on whether or not I think Jeff Bagwell is deserving to be a Hall of Famer. But if Craig Biggio's in, there's almost no way you cannot put Jeff Bagwell in because Jeff Bagwell is a better player.
Absolutely.
Than Craig Biggio.
Absolutely.
You know, that to me, that's the part of it that's a no-brainer. Whether or not, you know, the numbers add up to say this guy's a Hall of Famer.
They're borderline, and that's the thing. If he had just been able to stay healthy for a couple more years, but during the first 14 years of his career, he was as consistent as anybody in the league. He was that, and that's the one thing. The guy didn't have bad years.
Yeah,
he just consistently produced runs and consistently hit around 300. And, you know, as I said, the numbers themselves are borderline.
And honestly, like when you think, you mentioned Frank Thomas, who's a Hall of Famer. And the numbers, you're right, they're not far off.
But Frank was able to play a little bit longer. Healthy.
Right. The problem is when you look at Bagwell's home runs, 449, Frank Thomas broke that barrier. He had 521.
Right.
You know, Frank had 1,700 plus RBI. Bagwell's just over 1,500. Bagwell's a career 297 hitter. Frank Thomas is a 301 hitter, which, again, 4 points in a batting average, not a big deal,
right?
You know, over the course of a career. But when you look at those marks, those benchmark things, Bagwell was just short on them. And that's why, I mean, and yeah, a lot of it is because Frank was able to play a little bit longer. And that's obviously part of it. You've got to be able to stay on the field. And to be fair, Frank spent a lot of his time not on the field. He was a DH for a lot of his career.
And that's
Jeff Bagwell never had that opportunity.
And Bagwell was a really good defensive first baseman. Yeah. Really good. And saved a lot of runs like that, which I think is something you have to consider when you're making that argument. And by all indications, he's going to get in. I hope he does.
He was so close last year.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a crime if the guy doesn't get in.
I don't either.
Because there are enough reasons to say, okay, no, this is not good enough. But, yeah, based on – and this is where I always got into the Guy Lewis thing. Based on guys who are in there, how he's not as a joke – Biggio being in there and him not, to me, is a joke.
It's bothersome to me as well.
And plus, he was just my favorite player to watch for a long time.
Yeah. I liked him. I mean, I liked him more than I liked Biggio. I remember just being an Astros fan growing up. My favorite of the three guys that came up together was Ken Caminiti. Now, obviously, he ended up having the least Hall of Fame worthy career of the three.
Unfortunately,
he had some demons off the field and some, you know, some juice on the field. But, and this is what I always say when people talk about Biggio and Bagwell never having any steroid connections. And I'm like, well, do you really think that Caminiti, Biggio, and Bagwell were this tight and Bagwell and Biggio just sat on the chair and watched Caminiti shoot up and were like, nah, I'm good today, man. No thanks.
Yeah, you can keep that.
I mean, I just can't picture that happen. And again, it's not like I'm accusing anybody because I don't really care. To me, steroids would have so little to do with my Hall of Fame vote. I've said before, if I were, like you said, if you had a vote, if you had stayed that one extra year, if I had a vote, I would vote two names every year. And that's it until they got in.
Yeah,
because if Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens aren't Hall of Famers, no one is a Hall of Famer.
And I agree with you 100% on that. And it's not just because of it. And that's a different argument because, and we've had that one before with people. To me, those guys should be in. There's no doubt. But the one thing about the whole Bagwell, Caminiti, Biggio thing, their careers kind of mirrored when I started moving up in journalism in print. And so I got to cover those guys a lot. Caminiti was the one that I actually hung out with a couple times before all the stuff started happening.
Oh, before he wasn't partying with you?
No, this was early on. We got a few drinks at like Sam's Boat. He was the nicest kid. He really was. It just wasn't the brightest kid, and it was real easy to mislead into stuff. But those guys all worked out together. And that's why if you're going to sit here and put steroids on Jeff Bagwell, why didn't you on Craig Biggio?
Right. That's what doesn't make sense to me. Because if people are going to say, oh, Jeff Bagwell, he never failed a test, but we all kind of know. Again, you think Caminiti and Bagwell were doing roids and somehow Craig Biggio was like, guys, I don't think this is the right thing to do. this doesn't seem like something a real major league player would
do. No, a real major league player would automatically rub dirt on his helmet so he looks like he's a tough guy.
Yeah, let me put some pine tar on my helmet. That'll help me. I mean, so I never got that argument either. I think Bagwell's a great player. If he gets in, I'm not going to like say, oh, he's not deserving, because I did say that about Craig Biggio, which a lot of people didn't like. But I stand by it. I don't think Craig Biggio had a Hall of Fame career. Jeff Bagwell, I think, is much closer to that Hall of Fame threshold. And if he gets in, I won't say he doesn't deserve it. If he doesn't get in, you won't hear me crying and complaining about it.
Just say, okay. It's not one of those where – it's not like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds to me. Those guys deserve to be in.
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-ESPN on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. So if you want to get lined up for some What Are the Odds calls, please do.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Raising Cane's. I don't know if I've been telling you. I hope you've been listening. Raising Cane's all over the city of Houston. And these guys, there's something I got to tell you about these guys. They care. And I've noticed that it's, you would think at a fast food place, you know, they're just trying to get you in and out. That's not the case at Raising Cane's. They're using the highest quality ingredients, fresh, never frozen, premium chicken tenderloins. They're marinated for 24 hours, hand battered, cooked to order. And all the sides are great. The sauce is amazing. It's just about as good as the chicken. It's tangy, a little bit of spice, full of flavor. Very, very good. That secret recipe only the managers know. But the people who work there also really care. And you get like full service restaurant service from these guys who are working behind a counter. It's something that you don't often see. It's something that's really amazing. Right now, if you go in, something else amazing, you could win $100,000 playing the Peel the Love game. 1 in 3 will win Raising Cane's food instantly. Got to love those odds. And if you spell C-A-N-E-S, you could win $100,000. There's one love at Raising Cane's, and that's great chicken fingers. Go check it out. Raising Cane's all over Houston.
You can't get what you want. Well, it's all because of me. Now dance, man, I never
ESPN. 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday. 713-780-ESPN. A lot of other stuff to get to today. Jerome Solomon's going to join us next segment. Get his thoughts on that. And I also want to get his thoughts on the Texans coaching changes. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit with him. And Jesus Ortiz is scheduled to join us at 5:30. He is now a columnist for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, but he worked at the Chronicle for many years and covered Jeff Bagwell. He also has a Hall of Fame vote, so we'll have him on. And Beth Liebling will join us at 6:15 for Pillow Talk. She is at a porn convention, so
all right,
that should be interesting. Let's squeeze in a couple calls because we're going to be so full today. We're not going to be able to take too many calls. So while we have a segment where we can, let's get Quentin first. What's up, Quentin?
Hello.
Hey now.
Hey, sports.
Sports, yeah. Quentin.
Go, man.
Hey, I got a quick question. I know you guys were talking about Craig Biggio and Bagwell and Caminiti, and you know, I kind of disagree with you that Biggio didn't deserve to be into the Hall of Fame. But if you look at it, I mean, majority of those guys get in because of their stats. And if you look at, you know, the thousands of baseball players, there's only, what, about 30, maybe 30 or 40 guys that have 3,000 hits. So I think longevity has a lot to do with it, that he was able to continue and stay consistent throughout his, well, he played like 20 years. So I think he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame.
He wasn't consistent,
and
though.
Also,
his last 6 years in the league, it wasn't consistency because his last 6 years in the league, he broke 280 once. He hovered around being a 240, 250 hitter the latter part of his career just so he could get to that 3,000 number. You know, if you look at the guys who have hit 3,000 and then you look at their career batting average, not many guys are career 280 hitters and get to 3,000 hits. It just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, and like a guy like Ichiro, who's, to me, if you could count, even not counting his time in Japan, he's gonna be a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's gonna earn his 3,000 hits.
Well, and he was also he got 3,000 hits here, but he's also a career 313 hitter. He's also won a league MVP. He's also, for the majority of his career, was the best defensive outfielder you could find in the league. I mean,
here's Biggio's last 5 years. And then we're going to turn the page on this because the guy's already in. It's a worthless argument at this point. 253, 264, 281, 264, 246, 251.
Okay.
Basically, he was around at the end of his career to get 3,000 hits. That's what it amounted to.
There are two guys who have 3,000 hits that have a career average lower than Craig Biggio's. Ricky Henderson is 2 points lower than Craig Biggio.
Also had a million steals.
Yeah. I mean, there's some. Yeah. He had a little more going for him. And the other one's Cal Ripken Jr., who's 5 points lower.
Also, that Iron Man streak counts for quite a bit.
Exactly.
Let's try Brian real quick. What's up, Brian? Brian.
Hello.
Hey, Sports
Guys,
Brian.
Sports.
What's up?
Guys, move fast. We're trying to get as many people on as we can here. Yeah.
Okay.
Michael.
Thanks for the call.
Go, Michael.
Sports.
Sports.
What are the odds the Houston Texans have a new starting quarterback that is not on the current roster?
33.333%.
I was going to say 25%.
I think they're going to try to get somebody.
But, I mean, for him to be a starter, like week one?
It's not like you got a lot to beat out there, AJ.
That's true. No, but, I consider part of it is, I mean, they may draft somebody in the fourth round. They're not going to throw him out there and start week one when you've got Savage and Osweiler.
I would not be shocked if they still went out and tried to trade for somebody's backup and gave him a chance. I don't think they can be happy with what they've got.
Of course not.
And
nor should they.
Yeah. And I think if everything stays the same, you'd probably start the season with Savage next year, although he's peanut brittle. So he's not going to last long. I think they'll bring in somebody to compete. They have to. Then again, I thought they'd bring in a real offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
The coach just wouldn't give himself the job.
Well, and that happened.
Yeah, and we talked about this a lot yesterday, but I don't see how this fixes anything. Now, they tweaked the defensive side of the ball a little bit. I don't think that means any changes, really. I don't know. Vrabel getting promoted to defensive coordinator, as long as Romeo Crennel's still there as an assistant head coach, I don't think you're going to see a ton of changes. I think part of that was because Vrabel's name was coming up for every available DC job, so you wanted to promote him. And I guess Romeo theoretically will help more with game management since O'Brien's going to be calling plays. So I don't know that that changes much on that side of the ball, but offensively, all you did was take George Gotze out of the equation. That's it. And this is one of the things I wrote, that maybe the real problem here, AJ, isn't that Bill O'Brien can't call plays, because I don't think he can. Maybe it's he's trying to run a system, for lack of a better word, that requires Tom Brady to be successful. Because if you look at what the Patriots do, if you're trying to do what they're doing, you're asking Brock Osweiler, Tom Savage, Case Keenum, Brian Hoyer, fill in the blank, to read plays the way Tom Brady does. That's like asking somebody to go up there and read a defense the way that Peyton Manning did. You just can't. So maybe there's a flaw in the system. Maybe. Let's try Michelin Man. Okay.
Hey, Sports.
You're on. No, you're not. Okay. So much for that. Oh, well.
I don't like this.
No more calls.
Yeah.
Well, at least not for a while, because, like I said, we're pretty much booked on guests. And if you're not going to be there when we go to you, then sorry.
I got time for that.
But, I don't know. Maybe if we had better callers, maybe you would have made that list. There's that.
Maybe so. I was very disappointed.
Hey, Raheel made it.
Good he for did.
Him. Granato made it.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty funny. Somebody basically, I'm not even going to give the website because screw them. But they did like a what it would be like if there was one station and there was a dream team lineup, and it was basically everybody from 790. So apparently, whoever this guy is, he must love 790. Raheel was on the list, and they put Granato as Zerline, which I'd be cool with. I'd actually like to see that again. But no A.J. Hoffman on the list.
No Fred Fowler either.
Yeah, but nobody thinks of me as anything, so I don't care. But now, any list that doesn't have A.J. Hoffman and Sean Salisbury on it, to me, not really a very good list.
Thanks, Fred.
Well, seriously. I mean, if you're putting together a list of people who would be working... and I honestly, I have no idea who this guy is, which, all right, I'm old. I think we can agree on that, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I first started working in the journalism business in the city, I was 18 years old. You know how long ago that was? 34 freaking years ago.
You were so old.
34 years.
That's almost how long I've been alive.
I know that I've worked in print, that I've worked in websites, I've worked in radio, I've even done TV. And I know everybody, right? If I've never heard of you, I'm probably not going to respect your opinion.
Well, here's... I read I read some of the little blurbs about why he likes some of those guys.
Yeah.
And it made me okay not being on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to be on that guy's list, to be honest.
Well, I was thinking I could just do a...
Because if he likes... Like, if you like some of the other guys that are on that list, you probably don't like me.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, I don't want you... I don't want you to like me if that's what you...
Yeah.
And just throw one more thing out there. If we were down to one radio station in the city, you know who would... I would be willing to bet Jong's life on would own the one station? Gal Media.
You think so?
You know who would probably be on that list of guys? Us.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Wait, my life? Why not yours?
He doesn't want to do that.
No.
Oh, man.
Yours has more value. You're younger. See, if I bet my life, that's like, oh, okay, who cares? You're going to die anyway. But you're young. But not good for them. Congratulations. That would not be a radio station I'd ever listen to. There were some guys I'd have on my list that aren't here. Like, I'd have Sean on there. I'd have Zerline. I'd have Josh. I'd put all those guys on there, but... Some of those guys. It's like, okay, good for you. Happy for you. All right. I'm also happy for Houston Can Academies because they're such a great place. They change lives every day. They take in kids who've had to drop out of other schools for other reasons. And some of them had to get jobs. There's all kinds of reasons why they had to drop out. Well, they take them in. They give them a second chance. And these are kids that would never have gotten back in school or gone back to school. Well, they take them in. And so many of them graduate and go on to do great things. And it's all because of the donations that you guys have. And by donations, and I have to tell you, the Blitzers have been the best when it comes to this. And by donations, I mean cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, four-wheelers, anything, whether it's running or not. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Maybe you had it sitting out there and you're thinking, I'm going to do something with it. And maybe I'm going to fix it up. Maybe I'm going to sell it. Never got around to it. And you know what? How about you donate it? Because they're going to come tow it free of charge, process all the paperwork. Your donation is tax deductible. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. I'm telling you, you can make a difference. All you have to do is give them a call, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Behold the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And that music usually means Jerome Solomon, but I don't see him on there yet, so I'm sure it'll happen any moment. But if we're going to have him here? Or?
Yeah, he's on the phone.
Oh, okay. So now I can introduce him. If you're making a list of multimedia superstars, Jerome Solomon is number one. Unless he doesn't turn his phone down or his radio down. What is he doing?
Sounds like he's got a drug deal going.
Yeah.
Did he say I want diamonds or money?
Are you buying weed? All right, he's not even there. This is great.
What's going on there, John?
Yeah, we've got phone problems with callers. Now we have phone problems with guests. It's like selling drugs. I don't know what's happening. If you're buying weed and not sharing it, I'm not happy. Just want to go on record as saying that. All right. Well, that was... All right. We're going to try it again. And he just went down a spot on the list of multimedia superstars in Houston with that first try. Jerome Solomon, hopefully joining us now.
Yeah.
You're there. All right.
First you bumped me for a whole day. Now you've... Just randomly call me at an hour that nobody warned me that it would be at this time. And I won't even talk about Jong nickeling and diming me, but, you know.
Yeah, well, you know what? You need to take that up with him because he said, oh, we're going to move Jerome to 4:30.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it would be nice if he told me that.
Yeah, we're in the communications business, man.
I'm low man on the totem pole. I understand.
How are you, man?
Good. I mean, I'm not like, you know, Romeo Crennel getting bumped up in the stratosphere. So,
yeah, let's talk about this a little bit, because is how much different is that going to be on that side of the ball? Because that's the one thing that worked for him. So I kind of hate to see him making a lot of changes, but is it really that much of a change?
I really don't think so. And obviously, we won't know until, you know, somebody starts talking and we really get a good look at what they're trying to do. My general thought is the main thing is they're doing a solid for Vrabel because he gets the title of defensive coordinator. That might even be doing a solid for Romeo, who turns 70 in a few months and, you know, lowers his, you know, eases his workload just a tad. And his contract was up, so I'm hoping he got a bump in, you know, a bonus to move up, because if it's a fake title and they're stripping him of some power and some something, then I think he would say, well, bye. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm thinking it really doesn't change anything. The key, though, might be who's going to call the defensive play. And if that's going to be handed over to Vrabel, now you do have a dramatic change, because the guy who's been doing it and doing it so well is not doing it anymore. That could be an issue, but, you know, we don't know that right now.
Well, let's go to the other side of the ball, because this is the one that I'm frankly baffled that this is the move. Tell me why is this going to be different with him calling plays when he's been calling plays off and on anyway? So basically what you're telling me is George Godsey was the entire problem here.
Man, Freddie, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know why you treat these people like they don't know what they're doing. I mean, obviously, when the play calling was bad, George Godsey was calling it, you know. And the four or five drives this season when they were good, Bill O'Brien was running that. So, you know, simple math would tell you if Bill O'Brien called the plays all the time, things would be great. I mean, I don't know how he can have any input on the offense when he's just the head coach. You know, and clearly he's the kind of guy that really wouldn't get his nose all in somebody else's business. So the offensive issues were not his fault, and they're all fixed right now today. So I don't know what your problem is, Fred.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't know
this
what
is really dumb.
I know, but I think it came across what you were trying to say, though.
I don't get it. I don't get it either. I mean, I really don't get it. And even if all of the sarcasm I threw out there was some belief in the building that was indeed the case, I would still want another voice in the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would want someone to step in to bring us some new ideas, some new thought in the matter, as opposed to just the guys we have. Because, I mean, you've been a boss. I've never been a boss, but you've been a boss. So when things aren't going well, you just promote from within. And this isn't the same as it was when Kubiak was in charge, but when they, you know, he got rid of Richard Smith, his first defensive coordinator, and he's like, I'm going to hire the linebackers coach to be defensive coordinator. I was like, well, wasn't he in all those meetings the season before when you were horrible? So how is it going to get better when he's been there all along? And I know Bill O'Brien was running this offense. It's his offense. So give me a break. If you want to improve, you got to do better than that.
Yeah, and I was glad to see him actually make a move, but to me, this is no move at all. This is just, all right. And I'll ask you this, because you were around the Patriots a lot too, is the fact that, and I saw what your colleague wrote about how this complicated system and he's best to do it. And what the hell is complicated about this system? Explain it to me, because it sure doesn't look very complicated to me.
I've tried to decipher and determine what's so complicated about it myself. I know there's complicated terminology in terms of, well, the simplest thing that I've gotten from scouts and from people who played is that what makes it quote-unquote complicated is every offense that is run in the NFL, there are elements of it in this offense. So as opposed to a Gary Kubiak, where you know you're running, you know, zone blocking, and it's pretty standard in West Coast, this is what we're doing. you know, a little bit of some other stuff, but that's the main thing. There is no main thing with this offense. It's strictly they'll run whatever it takes to run. The problem is that's not the offense the Texans have been running. The offense they ran this year, especially when you've proved to me, too, that you're not really doing a good job of getting the best out of even a bad performer like Brock Osweiler, who was at least competent in many ways in Gary Kubiak's system. They didn't run anything like that with the Texans, you know, this year. They put him in shotgun with empty backfield all the time, never under center, and never rolled him out much. It was one of those weird situations that I'm like, you're trying to force something on a guy who's not capable. So, and if it's too complicated for him, then dummy it down, please.
And it's the other thing I would wonder is his base, you know, the reason he had this reputation as a offensive guru was from 1 year with Tom Brady. I'm sure you can run that real easily with Tom Brady. And is it just possible that if you're going to try to do the same things, that it's never going to work because these guys aren't Tom Brady?
Yeah. Again, you're asking a question that's a challenging one because he didn't go in and take over the Patriots and install an offense, and it worked with Tom Brady. He went in to the Patriots, who had an offense that was already running well with Tom Brady, and he just coached there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know where this genius tag comes from in that sense, except, you know, what he's learned. But what he's showed us as the head coach and the person running his offense, he didn't even make Gotsi the offense coordinator, remember, the first year. We haven't seen any great offense from the Texans in 3 years. I don't even think it's necessarily about Brady. I mean, because you can have, trust me, there's 30 teams did already this year. You can have a better offense than the Texans have with all kinds of quarterbacks in the NFL. And O'Brien hasn't proved that he can have a great offense with any quarterback because he's run through, 10 of them at least now in 3 years. And yeah, they're all pretty bad, but so.
We talked about this a little bit earlier. You think Jeff Bagwell gets in today, and does he deserve it?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm with you. I heard part of that with you. I think it's a no-brainer. I think he gets in. I think he should have been a long time ago. And like AJ said, it's the travesty that he didn't get in before Biggio. He's the franchise's best player. He's deserving. It's not even debatable or anything to even really discuss, except today is the day that he's going to get in. So, you know, he deserves it. He's earned it, no question.
What are you working on?
So have Bagwell and Clemens. I mean,
Bonds and Clemens.
Bonds and Clemens for sure too.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So what do you got? What are you working on this week? TV, podcast? What all you got going?
Yeah, I'm doing a podcast with Jamal Charles that I should have out by the end of the week, and got a column in our magazine on the Texans quarterback situation, and it is kind of stark. I mean, it's bad enough to be what it is, but in this NFL, you look at the four quarterbacks who are in the conference championship games, and the gap between those guys and the guy the Texans have is pretty darn amazing. And real quick, you guys can talk about this once I get away if you haven't already brought it up. Did you see Bovada with its trolling odds today on whether or not Brock Osweiler would take the first snap for the Texans next year or start the first game, and where most likely Tony Romo is to end up. That's pretty funny stuff. I think they're just trolling, but they don't troll with their money like that, right?
That's true.
But,
yeah, although to be fair, they put a lot of that stuff out. It's never actually on their site.
they won't take a bet on it. They just put it. Yeah. Then it is legitimately trolling then, huh?
Yeah, and I don't know because I haven't been on there to see if those are actually there, but I see them a lot of times. They'll do stuff for PR purposes like that, and then I'll go to the site to try to bet it, and it's not there.
They won't take a bet on it.
Because I'll take Broncos plus 475 right now all day long.
Yeah, it's no, they got Texans at 3-1 for Romo, and Brock is even money that he won't be here. Oh, no, that he'll be here, and it's like minus 140 that he won't. So it's one of those where they're not expecting him to do it. I don't know if Bobby Neer is going to eat that money, though.
No, he'll be here. He won't be starting. So
that's valid point. I do think that it's a legitimate question of why would you want him here if he's not going to start? You know,
well, you can't. You need a backup quarterback,
and you can't afford to cut him. So keep him for one more year as your backup.
You're wasting the money regardless. So
no, but the cap implications for next year, it's ridiculous. You can't do it.
It's the same.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It is. There's a $6 million difference.
That's nothing.
You're going to waste, $19 million regardless.
Well, yeah, it's already wasted. You might as well have him as your backup. And that's the thing. You're not getting it back. So,
I'm serious about this. I have nothing against the guy personally, but you've been around me long enough. I don't try to run people out of town. If I own that team, there's no way he could start another game for me. I wouldn't even want him around. I'd be irritated every time I saw him. You know what I mean? Like, just the same. And there's no difference, except it's money-wise. There's no difference with the way Brian Hoyer ended the season last year. I'm sure Bob McNair walked in like, dude, I don't even want to see this guy anymore, you know?
Well, you know what he ought to do? He ought to look in the mirror because he's the one who brought him in.
So. Oh, you're the owner, and you're not going to fire yourself.
No. All right, we got to run, Jerome. Appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas. Later.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. Gotta tell you, to celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. It's happening Thursday, February 2nd at Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities. It'll be all you can eat and drink, refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com starting at just $125. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. Really looking forward to that. Starting to get my week lined up for there, as are you.
Yeah.
We're going to be busy as hell, so that night's going to be fun. We're going to hopefully be able to have a little alcohol with you guys. A couple giveaways we got to do. We got to do the Bedrock City Comic Company gift card for $25 and T-shirt. You need to pick a superhero or supervillain from what happened this weekend and tweet what the superpower is that made them a superhero or supervillain. Tweet it to @degenerates975, tag Bedrock City Comics, and John will pick the winner. And if you have the best one, you get a $25 gift card and T-shirt. So there you go. Be real simple. You know, there's four superhero quarterbacks who are still playing. What's that beer you're drinking there?
St. Arnold Art Car.
Yes, we had a listener from Scotland who sent us a whole bunch of beer for Christmas.
Nice.
And, it's very cool stuff. So,
he really sent it to John, but John couldn't drink it all.
Well, he sent it to John, but it was supposed to be for all of us.
Oh, okay.
But he's a big fan of the show. He's living in Scotland now. He lived in Houston for a while, but he listens on the podcast. His name's Richard. And he's going to be here Super Bowl week.
Right on.
So thank you, Richard, for the beer. Because I'm sure you'll probably get this thank you a week from now.
Why?
Because he listens on the podcast. So, or at least tomorrow. All right. So there you go. And guess what else I have to give away? I'm not going to do this yet. Next hour, I'm going to be out at Sam Houston Race Park Saturday night. We're going to be there Friday for the show, 4 to 7. I'm so stoked, by the way.
Just racing starting up.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I'm a walking, never mind, I'm not going to use that word, but I'm walking around pleased. We'll just put it that way. But I got four packs of tickets for Saturday night to give away, so we'll be doing that soon as well. And let's squeeze on a quick call. TJ. What's up, TJ?
What's going on, guys?
Sports.
I just got a quick question. With O'Brien taking over the play calling. Do you think he's on a hot seat? I'll just hang up and get you guys talking about it.
Yeah, I think he's going to be on the hot seat. If this team doesn't get any better, and
particularly on the offense,
the offense has to get better. That's his thing. And AJ was kind of saying this yesterday. He sort of preferred it. If O'Brien does this, there's no more excuses.
There's no safety net.
Yeah, if the team sucks with him calling the plays,
it's because of him.
Yeah, and
people could say it's because of the quarterback, but let's also remember who picked this quarterback. Who told Bob McNair, I can win with this guy? It was Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
That's his choice. So if you say this is the guy I can win with, and I mean, clearly he was wrong about that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not the guy.
Well, and he may be wrong about himself, too. That's
what I'm saying.
Let's be honest. All right. Well, I'll tell you one thing I can be honest about, how much I enjoy Blue Apron. As I know AJ does as well.
Oh, do I? I had some last night. I had the pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach, and it was so good. There's some kind of sauce with it. Very, very good. I recommend.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this, you can get these meals for less than $10 a person. They've got a variety of recipes. You can customize your recipes each week based on what you want. I have to always go in there and change them. And the great thing is they come with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And it's awesome. The wife loves doing this, and she loves keeping some of the recipes and taking those recipes and doing them again. That's how good they are.
Yeah, and it's healthy. You get a good variety, and it's easy to cook. You can check out this week's menu and get the first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.